crowd? All right. Invocation, Pledge of Allegiance, Dr. Pius.
Heavenly Father, tonight we come to you with grateful hearts as we continue to support our students and guide them to graduation. We are also thankful for the chance to gather together here at the Venice campus. Let it remind all of us that we are bound by our shared mission to serve students, strengthen our communities, and shape the future of the State College of Florida. And as we look ahead to the groundbreaking of the new parish campus later this week, may that moment mark more than just new construction. May it symbolize growth, opportunity, and our ongoing belief in what's possible when we work together. May this meeting and all that follows be guided by collaboration, kindness, and purpose. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
If I can continue on with that prayer just a second. Prayer's answered right here. Prayer's answered. Public comments.
Mr. Chair, we have four for public comments, starting with Phil Travis. And as a reminder, name, address, 3 minutes, please.
Start the clock after, right?
Correct, or start it after.
Yeah. Philip Travis, 2344 Street West, Bergen, Florida, 34201.
We choose to go to the moon.
Oh, wait. wrong speech.
We choose to raise faculty salaries and do the other things. Build parish, raise graduation rates. Not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that goal will serve to organize and measure the best of our energies and skills. Because that challenge is one that we are willing to accept, one we are unwilling to postpone, and one which we intend to win, and the others too. Let's riff a little bit today on John F. Kennedy, and a little manipulation of his speech, because I think I have appreciation, as I know all you do, the difficulties of budgets. Yearly budgets are hard. And so I'm here to implore all of us, you, to work collectively to find a way to create a path to raise faculty salaries, not just one at a time, we can do this here, we can do this here, but over the longer term. According to the Bureau of Labor and Statistics, since 2015, inflation is 37%. So to put that in some perspective, if you're a full professor at the base pay, the base pay is $65,000. If you adjusted that for inflation, it actually should be more like $90,000. For an assistant professor, the base pay is $48,000. Adjusted for inflation, $66,000, and you can go on and on. We're talking about differences of $25,000 to $18,000. And that's National Bureau of Labor Statistics numbers. That doesn't actually include cost of living in the greater Sarasota, Bradenton area, which, as we know, has gone up a lot as well. So you have to factor that in. We've had a lot of talk, and we're part of this talk about building a really positive culture here. We being the faculty, totally on board with that. Like, we want to do that. A big part of that, money is not the only thing, but a big part of that is a commitment to raising faculty salaries, particularly over the longer term. We know yearly budgets are difficult, but we really want to work together collectively to plan for salary increases, you know, like we do for building projects and these types of things. We work towards these things. Graduation rates, we work towards these things. We really believe that doing this will be a great way, a vital step, like that grand mission of sending people to the moon, which at the time people thought it was too much, it's too difficult. We have limitations with our budgets. What we need to do with faculty salaries as well as building parish and the other things that we want to do, they're challenging. They're hard, particularly in this current environment. But I think we can do them if we work together. And if we do that, we're going to create a positive culture. We can make SCF the best college in the state of Florida. I believe that. We can get people to come here, to stay here, and make people really proud to be here. Sorry, thank you so much.
I'll tell Steve, don't worry.
I got my socks on. Kenny came with me.
Good touch.
Same routine, name, address, and I'll share it after.
My name is Jennifer Beeson, and my address is 3621 Avenue de Madeira, Bradenton, Florida.
Yep.
According to the Florida Department of Education for 2024-2025, of the 28 sister state colleges, Hillsborough Community College had the highest FTE growth. They came in at 16.3%. The average was 7.2, and we were 2.7, and that's according to the Florida Department of Education. That is not a slight on us as faculty or administration. Last month, when I listened to the board meeting online, I essentially heard that compensation isn't a major issue here at the State College of Florida, and I assure you that it is. We have great difficulty staffing classes because we are having difficulty getting faculty to come to this college. Search after search after search has failed. Accounting alone, we just had 10 people, which is abysmal. Of the 10 people, 3 people were viable. None of them took the position. Why? Low compensation, lack of flexibility, and a long commute. I highly encourage you to speak with our faculty and our department chairs who are serving on these committees, only to be deeply disappointed, having wasted resources, time, and money sitting on these committees, interviewing people, only to be told, no, it's not enough. One recent candidate in the Department of Language and Literature, which is where I reside, said, I'd love to come here, but I just cannot accept this offer. I'm in need of a position with better compensation. My department chair alone is teaching 5 extra classes, 5, because faculty quit, faculty got sick, and we had a part-timer who was teaching on a Saturday. He is in his upper 80s, and he fell very ill. And so now she is teaching on a Saturday out of the goodness of her heart. We're all being stretched very thin to staff classes. We're being asked to take on more and more responsibilities, and we're doing it because we love what we do and we love who we teach, but we're getting tired. And Dr. Rand, one of her initiatives was to build culture, and we are all on board for building culture. Help us, help you, help our students. So together, if we put our minds together to be creative and really address these issues, it will be better for everyone. We'll go higher, we'll go faster, we'll grow. We need the staff, we need more people. We can get this number up from 3%, but we need more people to teach our classes. We're not going to be able to grow if it's just the same old people here, us. So we all need to work together to be able to grow our enrollment and to graduate our students that deserve it.
Thank you.
And same thing, name and address, I'll start afterwards.
Maria Solari, 3036 Hyde Park Street, Sarasota, 3429. Hello. I've been an instructor at SES since 2004. 3 years as an adjunct and 21 years now as a full-timer. In 2020, I was extremely proud to be awarded the title of full professor. I'm still smiling for it, you see that? So I am now actually thinking about retirement and looking towards what that means for me. And having a state pension is really one of the big perks of being in a state college. It's a great thing, and I'm thrilled that that is part of my retirement options. However, over the last 5 years, the government has published cost of living adjustment percentages ranging from 1.3 to 8.7%. In total, surpassing any non-promotion-based raises to faculty over the last 14 years. I'll say that again. Just the last 5 years of COLA have outpaced 14 to 15 years of SEF faculty raises not linked to merit promotions. I realize that many years without the cost of living increase not only diminished the financial impact of my promotions as I moved up the rank, but have impacted my retirement as well. My pension going forward for the rest of my life is based on a salary that was already losing its buying power year after year after year. Thank you.
Thank you.
Name and address, and I'll start after.
As professors, we love structure.
You got it.
So I am Catherine Missouri, 207 32nd Street West. And for those of you who don't know me, I am an assistant professor of 13 years of service here at State College of Florida, art historian. I wear a couple other hats, we'll talk about that. But students, let's put them right out here for us as we talk about, my colleagues are talking about some burnout issues, some lack of morale, some compensation issues. The good news is that the students are showing up on campus in ways we couldn't have imagined. It reminds me of pre-COVID. They're laughing in between classes. They're checking out each other's outfits. They're flirting with each other in the cafeteria. They were just out there studying, and you could just sense it was like pre-quiz, like cram session. And those are happening on campus where we have what we know as these face-to-face encounters. I'm working with Heather Shehorn, who's in the room, shout out, and new faculty, staff, administrator partnerships. We have established design, and we are rolling out trading cards on our faculty coaches where students, two clicks, will be able to book a faculty member who can coach them through process. These students that are showing up are amazing. Don't let anybody tell you they're using AI for everything. They're just trying to see what they can get away with. Okay, so this is our job, ethical educator. Oh, at the same time, we need to throw every single thing out of our courses that can be completed with AI, which is about 90% of the things that we've built over the last couple of years. So these are the things that we're doing. And where I'm engaged is that I do all this behind the scenes, and I've spoken to President Gregory. I said, this is my era. He says, I love that you talk about Taylor Swift. I'm like, I like you too. I don't exactly, you know, I don't have that same kind of correlation with President Gregory and his musical character yet. But the word, I kept wanting to go with legacy, and he wanted to go with stability. So I have this gift that I will give to you, which is the audiobook. Now that you're moving around, I'm going to get you the real book, but those days are over because now you're moving. And you can listen to it on the move, Strong Ground. We will not build on dysfunction. Then they go right into a push-tush metaphor with the Eagles. And as a D1 athlete, like, we got to get our feet into the ground, and then we're almost immovable, right? Here, to learning, to lock, and it's a physical thing, right? Neil deGrasse Tyson will talk to you about it. So this is what we do in our classrooms, okay? This is how I lecture. What are we going to talk about? Who knows what they're going to say? Everyone says, don't you get bored teaching the same thing every year? Absolutely not. I don't teach the same thing every year. My students change, and so do I. I am here for this era, but it is rapid and is changing underneath our feet. And with my solid knees, I'm still kind of feeling the ground shaking, which is creating a lot of fear. And we do look to you for your leadership to help keep us out of a fear space so we can be in a creative space with our students. Thank you for coming to see my commencement speech for my son at his graduation. Thank you for inviting me to the stage. He is at FSU. This is what he says about his professors. Don't call him often. Hey, dude.
Little dude, he's 6'9".
How are your professors at their next level? They're the same as an SEF, but there's 200 people in my class.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. And this room feels great tonight. By the way, I know I'm over limit, but the new board faces, it feels really dynamic. I'm really excited about the future. And congratulations, Dr. Rand. Just the news today.
With that, Mr. President.
Thank you, Chairman. Well, let's start with that, too. How about a round of applause for Dr. Rand? Well deserved, Dr. Rand. A few things. Exciting to be here in Venice and on this campus. I know last year we had to cancel because of the hurricane. We normally do one board meeting here and one at Lakewood Ranch, and we have to make sure we do that, and it was nice to be here. I know the faculty today had a regularly scheduled potluck that they do a couple of times a year. We have a tight community here, and then we followed up with ice cream, so everybody's well fed today. Venice has had really spectacular growth, and we mentioned, somebody mentioned, I think Jennifer mentioned, we were 2.7% last year overall for the college, which is absolutely right. And even with that, then I would say our faculty were stretched pretty thin. This summer, we had 12% growth year over year compared to last summer. And this fall, we're at 6.3% year over year. So absolutely true that faculty were already spread thin, already taking overloads, all stepped it up a notch even further, spread themselves more thin this year. It is much appreciated, not sustainable, not a sustainable model. And we are, of course, looking at all the data to see how many faculty, additional faculty do we need to hire, and then what can we do in the face of the challenges that they mentioned in terms of recruiting and hiring people once we identify them. I'm also very excited to be in Venice today and see Dr. Jervy over here, and I know Cassandra's going to introduce him, but if you haven't met Dr. Jervy before, please make sure you do so, and you'll see his name, of course, on the library and on the lake, and we'll talk about some future naming opportunities as well, but I'll let Cassandra cover that. You have before you, members, the standard presidential report with the meetings that I had this past month since the last meeting, highlight some upcoming events. Of course, Parrish groundbreaking coming up later this week. We're very excited about that. And we don't usually do this, but I put a picture in here, talk about faculty going above and beyond and students going above and beyond. That is the Florida Senate Chamber. On October 14th, Melody Dickerson and Jamie Smith wrote together with our SCF choir team. So they met, you know, in the wee early hours of the morning, took a bus from SCF in Bradenton, went up to Tallahassee, got off the bus, immediately walked into the chambers, practiced the national anthem, and then changed into the nice dresses and suits you see before you, and then performed beautifully. And we got kudos from, you know, from across the state, frankly. People saying it was one of the best renditions they'd ever heard. I got a lot more requests for them to come sing places. I don't think people know quite how that works, but they went above and beyond, so they made all of us proud while they were there. I'll also say, you know, over this last month and maybe month plus, we are in negotiations with the union, and I would say everything that I hear from those reports, they are very positive and going very well, all early positive. But there is work to do, and we recognize that. I recognize it as a president. The board knows it. So we are going to do what we can do. Trustees, you have before you a fast facts, we call it. And anybody who wants one and doesn't have one of these, we can get you some. I know we have more in order arriving Wednesday. Arriving today. So if you don't have one of these and you want to have it and, you know, carry it in your purse or in your suit pocket, you know, people ask you, hey, you're a trustee or you're a professor at SCF, what kind of programs do you have? Well, we have so much, frankly, it's a little hard to remember probably, right? So you pull this out and ask, but also for trustees, I'll say, you know, we're going to have a mission moment here coming up. Of course, I know that's one of your favorite parts of the meetings, but all you have to do is look on our fast facts, and if there's a bachelor's program, associate in science, you want to hear, you know, some particular lifelong learning, you want to hear about feet force, anything you want to learn about and hear a presentation from faculty and students, just let me know and we'll put it on there and get it on the calendar. Chairman, I think you and I have discussed it already prior to this meeting, but I do want to note that in future meetings, I think it would be a good idea to have the CFO actually added to the report and do a presentation every month. And in addition to, or really separate from the pages that are in the booklet 37 through 39, so that Jennifer can present that in a different, more understandable format for all of you and for all attendees. So every month we with your concurrence, that's what we'll do. You also have, and I know we'll cover it later, I offered a couple of times, including at the last meeting, to modify my contract, reduce some of the compensation that's out there, and change the way we do goals. So I know the chairman will bring that up and talk about it. And then finally, yes, I survived a heart attack. I got 3 stents. I'm like the bionic man now. I do feel stronger than I did before, and I didn't know I was having problems, but it was pretty thrilling to be in the hospital and have nurses come into the room and say, "Do you have something to do with SCF? Like, I feel like I've seen your face." And a couple of them recognized me, and one in particular, I asked her when she graduated. She's like, "Oh, I just graduated in December." And I said, "Well, I probably gave you your diploma." We have another one in the 4-year bachelor's program graduating this coming May. And then I heard from the CEO, David Berender, and he said, "Well, it's a good thing you're doing a great job training nurses at SCF. Keep up the great work." So thrilled, really, really feel thrilled and blessed to be here today and look forward to the rest of the meeting and the exciting month ahead.
President Greger and I were both together in Tallahassee. We took that opportunity to speak to some of the legislators about the issues that were brought up by many of you today. We understand, we know, we're working hard. We never get to see the entire financial picture of the entire organization except at the audit that's given to us by a third-party vendor one time a year. And so President Gregory and I spoke about maybe getting with Vice President Price and having something that you could see every month in a condensed version, very condensed version, of how we look overall. And that's what President Greger was talking about, and hopefully next month we'll be able to have that for you. Vice President Price and I have spoken about it also, and I think it's going to be a much needed addition to our agendas. Mission moment. Professor Andy Swanson and gang.
Thank you for the invite. Appreciate it to be able to share a little bit about some of what I do down here and some of what Venice campus does. I'm Andy Swanson. I've been faculty member down here at the Venice campus for on and off 30 years. So this is kind of like my home. I teach a wide range of biology classes here, but one of the ones I'm kind of most proud of is the BSc 2010. It's a Fundamentals of Biology 1 class. These are some of my star students in this class now. I've got a really good group. This is a class for biology majors. So this is kind of a transition class. You know, this is like one of those classes that I kind of stop thinking of my students as students and start thinking about them as colleagues, where we're going to kind of cover some concepts, but we're going to get to the edge of what is known about that thing. And so we together get to this point where like, oh, well, no one really knows past this point. Do you guys have any hypotheses about what might be happening with this? So it's a fairly advanced class, and it's a different vibe. It's a different method in the class. It's more of a conversational. I end up doing most of the talking, unfortunately. But particularly in the lab part of the class, we cover stuff that what's happening in real biology right now. And biology is moving targets. There's things that kind of come and go. Microscopes that kind of come and gone. But right now, the tools of biology are really molecular tools. And I'm an ecologist and an evolutionary biologist, so I never even wanted to get into the lab. I want to stay out in the field and go look at birds through binoculars and stuff. But that's changed. And so now all biological questions are really addressed through these tools of molecular biology. So that's a lot of what we do in this class is we provide students with the tools, biological tools, that they can go in and look at. A lot of these guys are going to go to UF or USF or other parts of the country, or they're going to go into industry, but these are the tools that they kind of need to be ready to use. And it's kind of fun to do that. So biology's come a long way. You know, again, I used to kind of want to just go out in the woods and explore biology, but right now, even as an ecologist or an evolutionary biologist, I use molecular tools to answer questions. So a few of the tools we use in class. One of the ones we did right at the beginning is the funding details. With the second week of class, we jump in and we extract proteins from fish. Fish live in different environments. Some are saltwater fish, some are freshwater fish. Live in different habitats, and so they express different proteins. And so what we have the students do is extract protein from the fish and provide a protein profile, which kind of demonstrates all the proteins of different sizes that are in that particular fish. And we compare different species of fish and things that aren't even fish, like scallops. And the students can kind of pick out and try to find proteins that are in common among these fish and proteins that are not in common, things that are unique to those fish, and then they can maybe figure out what that protein is and what its job is by, going to Google Scholar and trying to explore. So that's one of the things we hit right away. It's actually a very high-level lab. The gels we do for this particular lab is called a polyacrylamide gel. It's difficult. It's not a real easy. Usually you do it the fifth or sixth week in class, but we jump in the second week and we're like, let's hit the ground running. And so it's a little bit of a challenging job loading that gel. It's like a really long little needle to get in there. So, but they did a great job. And it's good to just get them started with something really high level. It gets their attention. It gets everybody's attention. And it says what kind of serious level we're doing. So another lab we do that follows that one up is we use spectrophotometers a lot. This is a really common piece of equipment. It's used all over biology now. We use it to assess enzyme activity. So as enzymes carry out a chemical reaction, they build up a product over the course of that chemical reaction, and we can detect that product by its color. So we use a color image. So as the reaction goes by, it makes a darker and darker yellow color, a darker and darker purple color, and we can adjust the spectrophotometer to detect that. We can detect it with our eyes, but we can't quantify it. The spec can quantify that, and we can see how fast the reaction is happening or how slow it's happening, or what something is that we add to the reaction that might impede that reaction from happening. And this has lots of implications in biology and biomedical research. This is an assay that's done at the beginning of a lot of the other stuff we do, actually, because so in order to determine how much fish protein we use in the previous lab, we actually have to run a gel, run a spec on that ahead of time to determine if we're pitching it at the right concentration. If we have too much, it's not even going to run through the gel. If we have too little, it's going to run right off the gel. So we have to do this technique first in order to do the next technique. So this is one they get really familiar with, and it's at this point, I just kind of say, get off the specs, then get off the laptops, and I don't really have to instruct them or anything. They use them. After that, we kind of go into a little more advanced process called PCR. You might have heard of that. I'm kind of dating myself here, but it's one of those things that in the O.J. Simpson trial was a big deal about getting the DNA from that crime scene and amplifying it. So we use this same technique as a PCR machine on the far left. And what it does is we add pieces of DNA that we know the sequence of. We can add those to target a very specific gene. And by targeting that gene, we can use the PCR to amplify that gene and actually see whether it's present or not in different species or in different variants. We use a fruit fly. Drosophila melanogaster is a very common kind of model organism that's well known. The genome is very well characterized. It's only got four chromosomes. And so we amplify the gene that codes for their eye color. Sometimes they have red eyes, sometimes they have brown eyes, sometimes they have white eyes. And so there's a gene that codes for that. And so we can look at variations in that gene. We use a little bit different gel, and this is the same sort of setup, but it's an easier gel to run, and it runs DNA rather than protein. So we first isolate the DNA from the fruit flies, which is a little tough, because fruit flies have exoskeletons, and you have to access the DNA way inside the cells. But we do this long process. This is actually a three-week lab to slowly kind of gather the information that we need to find out whether the gene in three different fruit flies is the same or different. And they get a wild fly from out the world, and they're trying to discern whether that gene is present in that fly or not. So this is kind of an interesting lab. It's a three-weeker. PCR is a really common piece of equipment that they're going to come into contact no matter where they go. And lastly, this is sort of the future. We're not doing this semester, but I want to. We just got with our brand new science building. Along with it came some incredible equipment that I requested that can really kind of take it up another notch. So this is a real-time PCR machine. This is able to assess changes in gene expression. So one of the things, if you have a gene or not, that's one thing that the other PCR does, check. You have the gene, check, you don't. But a lot of biology now is really focused on gene expression. The stressed in different circumstances. And so with this machine, we can assess different circumstances and see whether the gene is getting expressed or not. We know it's there, but is it on? Are the proteins in line to turn that gene on? So this is a common technique that's used actually for COVID testing. Big COVID, we went and got their nose swabbed and they put it in the machine. This is typically what they use. And so I have a couple ideas on how to use this. I've asked my students to kind of start thinking about it. Right now I'm kind of leaning toward red tide because Karenia brevis is a local phenomenon, and we can sample water conditions and look for concentrations of red tide using this technique and how well they're improved. There's some particular genes that this organism exhibits, so that would be a really good use. But we're kind of still talking about it. So that's just a few of the things that we do in the class. I just had to share a few if you guys have any questions about those techniques or anything. You're the one that
it's way above me, I'm sorry. Fantastic. So, any questions?
Caroline.
Yes.
What's your favorite thing about the class?
The labs. Like, it teaches me skills that I'm going to have to use in my future for my program.
So what do you want to do?
The hands-on stuff.
Dentistry.
A question. Do you collaborate a lot and have to do teamwork to problem solve and defend what you are wanting the outcomes to be? How does that work, or is it individual?
So a lot of it is teamwork. We all work together to work through the different techniques and really go through the labs, and it helps having multiple people at a table,
okay.
Especially new people, because you get to know those people and their different ideas. Kind of combine their ideas and what hypothesis you think based on the research and both did. So it really helps to have a lot of people in there. And all of us have become really close-knit in the class because we like to think with some colleagues, so it makes us feel a lot more free and open to speak about what we think is happening in the science community. So it's nice to get us all together and have all of our mindsets on one thing.
Extraordinary. That's you described exactly what employers are looking for. Excellent.
So I have good question. First of all, no idea what you said. I know the PCR with the swabs. That was it. But I'm interested in, you said dentistry. What are the other two of you, what are you looking to do with this information? What are you looking to end up with as a degree or a field or a career?
I'm currently actually dual enrolled here through Lemon Bay High School. I'm a senior this year, but I could have graduated last year. I had the credits to. But now I'll be getting my associate's degree when I graduate in the spring. That's going to be in the Associates of the Arts with an emphasis in chemistry and biology classes, because my plan is to go pre-med, hopefully at UF, we'll find out in January. But I want to go on to be a pediatrician after graduating from medical school.
Awesome.
My plan is to go into genetics research because I love genetics, everything about it, what makes a person unique. So I am a dual enrolled student. I'm a senior at the collegiate school. On the other side. I've been here since ninth grade, and I started my dual enrollment in 10th grade, and I've been growing my science classes as I've gone, so I've also finished all of my high school credit, so now I'll also have my associate. So it's a nice jump start, getting started, especially with these real-life labs and the techniques, because I know that I'll be more prepared for when I go to USF, hopefully, and participate with them.
Awesome. Based on what you said, I can't imagine either of you won't get in where you want.
This one's for Dr. Swanson, but I am so delighted to hear each of your contributions. The energy you bring in talking about your students is terrific, and I think it's very clear that they rise to the term of colleague. But I'm also amazed that you've been here on and off for 30 years. So what keeps you coming back to teach?
You know, it's funny. From home, it's an equidistant drive to Bradenton or Venice. But I've just kind of fallen in love with the campus here as a biologist. The lake is fantastic. There's an emphasis on the environment down here that's just really fantastic. We can do a lot of work here. Like I can go out and take palm samples right from here and not worry about trying to get them brought in from other places. I just went the other day and got cow manure. For one of my other classes, but it was right unfortunately, sometimes once a week at Lakewood Ranch, but I tend to come down here because it feels like home. It's a little more home.
Any other questions?
I just have one for Dr. Swanson. If, you know, obviously they love what you do, you're good at it, you inspire your students, but is there something that you've long wished that you were able to do, that you were constrained by policy? Finances are squishy, as we know. But is there something at the college in your role that you think, I really wish we were able to?
Yeah. I mean, there's different levels of that. I once had the great idea to bring everybody in the class's dogs to campus to compare artificial selection. It was mayhem. So I won't be doing that again. We're out of trouble. But one of the things that the students need at this level is to be able to present at a conference, to be able to take their professional stuff and present a poster, or get to that next level of, at least in this field, that's kind of the next step to becoming a graduate student, to becoming a true researcher. So that's kind of the thing. I think it's possible for me to do it, but I'm not sure the hurdles that it would take a group of students across the country safely, you know, and all the other things that go along with that. So I'd love to do that sometime.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Is that something you can partner with the SMH Research Institute and their nursing program? Because they do a regular presentation of their third and fourth year medical school students, as well as their PA and their residents participate in that. Maybe we can ask them to add nursing and FPS students.
It'd be great to have that kind of an option to be able to present to an audience of peers.
Sure.
Thank you, Dr. Swanson. We really appreciate it. Very nice.
Thank you.
Approval of the non-financial consent agenda. Any items that need to be taken out?
Yes, I need to take out Exhibit D.
D, I'm sorry, D or B?
D, as D. In dog.
Okay, any other? Okay, go ahead.
So a quick question, page 33 of the athletic report, which is gender equity in athletes. Remind me why we're still doing this? I thought this was all kind of being washed out of, probably looking in the wrong direction, washed out of our policies at the state level and, you know, at the college level. And I don't know if this explained, please.
NCAA and JCAA require that for funding purposes, so there's equity in how we fund and how many sports we offer. So there's a threshold of about 5% we have to be within to stay within parameters.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. It is a report we fill out for them.
Right, thank you. Okay, that was my only question. So I would move approval of Exhibit C.
Well, in just a second. I think we'd be remiss if we didn't bring up an absolutely incredible report on our athletes. Number two volleyball team in the country, Division I state championship baseball team, 18 individual baseball awards, 7 individual volleyball, beach volleyball awards, 1 court volleyball, 1 2 softball individual awards. Third year in a row that we are, all teams are over 3.0 at GPAs. We reached the highest GPA averages ever for a team in beach volleyball, softball, and baseball, which is a big deal. And I commend AD Nick and the coaching staffs and, quite frankly, the kids for a great, great report, and I'm proud of them. I think we all are.
Chairman. If you don't mind, I just note that we also have SCF alumni pitching on both sides of the World Series this year as well.
That is fantastic. That's great. We put that in our ads.
Yeah. The press release went up.
Okay, we have a motion to accept the non-financial agenda. Is there a second?
Second.
There's a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, we'll call for the vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. Motion carries. Approval of the financial consent agenda. The exhibits
were. Can we do the full non-financial one?
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you.
Pardon? Yeah, go ahead. Approval of the financial consent agenda. Any exhibits we want to take out? Well, I do. Exhibit EF. I wanted Vice President Price to clarify some of her statements in here that I didn't understand, but now I do, but I thought maybe you would help on them if you wouldn't mind.
So I believe you're speaking to the two-year revenue and expense comparison report for the lower-level programs, which in the book is labeled as page 40.
Yes, page 40.
Jennifer, could you use your outside voice a little bit?
Yes.
Do we have a mic?
No, that's okay. I'll speak louder. Okay. Footnote one, you will see it next to other student fees, which is AC type 42, and AC type 43, support from local government. What we needed to do in preparing the current period financial report is we're reclassifying revenues that were reflected in the prior period, prior year, as support from local government. What those revenues represent are dual enrollment revenues. They don't belong on as support from local government. What those really are reimbursements of tuition and fees by the counties for our dual enrollment students. To be more in line with the Florida College System's revenue reporting and to pull us back in with the other 27 colleges and financial reporting, we're simply reclassifying those amounts to the line above into other student fees. It might look on here like we've lost funding or funding has been removed. It's not. It's being added into the line above it. So it's a better reflection of the nature and type of revenue that we're reporting for the dual enrollment revenue.
Any questions about that? Everybody understand what's going on? Because in her narrative, she said that support from local government went to 0%, which sent shockwaves to me, but it really just got moved from one point at place to one other place. Thank you. Anything else you want to tell us about? Chair, I'll take a motion to adopt the financial consent agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Moved. Second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, we'll call for the vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. Motion carries. You have on page 60 the facilities project list. Informational only, unless you have some questions for Chris when he comes up. And now, Mr. Willman would like to talk to us about construction projects and updates.
So before the meeting, I had the opportunity to listen to the new board members, a tour of the campus, a very positive word to share. As usual, the campus facilities around are beautiful. And I just want to give a shout out to Paul Fender, the director of facilities, and Rob McCarron. You guys raise your hand. The supervisor of facility did you an outstanding job. So thank you for that. two items for the board tonight. One, I need board approval on a construction contract for Parish Phase 1 development, and then approval of our annual pre-qualified contract. Phase 1 development, the board previously approved the project. The board approved the use of construction management as our project delivery method. We went through the consultant competitive negotiation session with Director Hand and Construction as the CM. This past year we went through design. We had academics and student services and every area of the college involved in that design. Trustee Gibson, thank you very much. You've been part of this entire process. Completed design developed a document for a 45,000 square foot building, two story, including all the site development, all the infrastructure. standing construction and took the bid documents that advertised per Florida statute. Received well over 156 separate subcontractor bids, touching all the divisions of construction. So we had a really healthy competitive process developed in Michigan. Their total price includes general conditions, which is basically field overhead, same contractor pricing, their office overhead, and their fee. Staff has evaluated those costs and have commented in fair and reasonable. So their total guaranteed maximum price is $33,983,264.86. Our total project budget that we're under is $39,265,385. So this is well within budget. Allows us to go out and buy all the furnishings, fixtures, and equipment that make up the rest of the project. So we are in really good shape. Through tonight, we'll break ground. We'll start November time frame. We'll finish up late spring of 2027. So based on that, I'm requesting board approval in the contract with Canvas Construction for $33,983,264.86.
Hey, Gerald, questions?
No.
Is there a motion to adopt?
I move.
Motion, second. Any further discussion on this $33,983,000 project? Okay. As Chris said, we have been working on this for well over a year. We were given numbers much higher than this when we started, but because of the process we went through with having the general contractor and the architect working together hand in hand, and for Chris and I saying no a lot, we brought this thing in under budget, and I'm very proud of Chris and the work he's done with his folks to get us where we are today. So we have a motion, we have a second. Any no other discussion? I'll call for the vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. Chris?
Thank you. Each year, State Department for Educational Facilities, SREP, requires us to issue an RFQ to qualified contractors for projects that cost $50,000 to $1 million that we're going to hard bid. So if we're going to pre-qualify a new contractor, we look at their experience, their references, their contractor's license, their insurance, and their buying capacity. If they're going to just get re-qualified, we just look at their current license, their insurance, and their bonding. So this year we got 7 contractors that are re-qualifying, and we got 6 new. So I'm requesting board approval for our listed pre-qualified contractors.
Any questions?
Yeah, I just have one question. In the new ones, we have Doral and Lake Mary. I don't know that it matters, but it's always nice to be able to use just Sarasota Manatee close when we can. Derek, what's the thinking there?
So, Chris, you're probably the only one on the board that remembers use this list. This one worked it.
Right.
And this list used to be 25 plus. And we would advertise in the solicit, and we'd get 2 bids of contractors to participate. Nobody hard bids anymore. Those 2 that were reaffirmed are no longer even on this list. So that's why we're using on the construction management side, and those pre qualify just because of the value to the college there. So if we were to decide to hard bid, we would advertise it. And we got program called Vendor Link that will send it out to the contractors to be up in the air if we're going to participate at this point.
So it's to keep the list expanded as large as possible so that we make sure we get bids.
So we advertise it, and whoever participates, that's up to them. So we're just making sure we're following the best route and keeping this annual pre-qualification.
So to expand on that question, we're not excluding any local qualified contractors. Is
Is that what I'm hearing you say?
If you're in a hard bid, we would end up going to this pre-qualified, or if it was $50,000 to $1 million.
Okay.
If it was $2 million, and we were in a hard bid, and we're just gonna advertise it, and it's open, and so whoever wants to participate.
Okay.
We'd end up going through a separate pre-qualification process if we were.
Any other questions? Chair needs a motion to adopt this list.
So moved.
Second.
Motion made, second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, we'll call for a vote. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Pose like sign. Motion carries. While we're on the subject for parish, just a second, I've asked President Gregory, and he has consented, thankfully, to inform this board about the logistical tight ropes we'll be going through with the new parish project. This is a very difficult analysis, and I'm hoping that we can have it in our May meeting, because June's meeting is very busy. So I think it's important that the board is informed of how we get from point A to point B, and actually taking possession of the facility, and then making it work with teachers and students and so forth and so on. So I think that'll probably be one first of maybe two or maybe three meetings along those lines, starting at the end of this fiscal year. As instructed, I met with President Gregory and discussed his contract, I wanted to go with you. First, we have to go over the 2023-24 contract that we already have, and his goals that he reached or did not reach, and he and I went through this together. I think you have a copy of these in your packets, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not going to get into this. We're running a little late, but I'll go through it with you quickly. Number one, we reached those goals as a college, and so that's $3,500. Number two, we did not quite reach those goals, and we just, as discussed between the two of us, we came up with $4,000. Number three, we did reach the goal, which is $5,250. On number four, we did reach the goals. So that's $3,500. Number five, we reached the goal, so that is $5,250. On number six, not because of anything we've done on this thing, but we did not, there's nothing else we could do. We did not quite reach that goal of $2,500. So awarded was $2,500. Seven, yeah, we did reach it, so that's $5,250. And then on number eight, we did reach it at $35,000. The total award is $32,750. I think this is fair and equitable. President Gregory, I assume those two. And I need a vote to allocate these funds.
I move approval of the allocation of these funds to the goals.
Second.
There's a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, we'll call for a vote. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. Then we went into a meeting to discuss upcoming contract. This is very difficult to do in the sunshine, by the way. I went to that meeting, and I told him so, very skeptical of what we were trying to accomplish. And I told him that he had to convince me. I went in that meeting with two other goals in mind. First of all, that he was properly compensated and that we weren't going to take funds out of his pocket after he'd already made contract negotiations with us the year before. And thirdly, if I could save the college some money, I would try to do that. President Gregory, I'm referring to paragraph three of the contract, which it says retirement. Now, please understand, we're not speaking about presidents of the past. We're not speaking about presidents of the future. We're talking about President Gregory. The state, we are currently on the state health and retirement plans. as a college. I have had problems with this four or five paragraphs in the past, but felt like maybe we had to keep it because of the requirement that we have, which you saw in your flyers that I assume you've all turned in. The second question is, the board evaluates a college president on a regular basis for performance, responsibilities, duties, and achievements. In the past, we've used, sadly, this number three to do all that. I've always felt that was wrong and inappropriate. He wants this entire paragraph X'd out and done away with. I, although skeptical when I went in, agree with him. I'm going to talk about a replacement for that paragraph. Well, I'll do it right now. I think we'd be better served if the board would evaluate his performance, or the performance of not him, of the entire college once a year based on the achievements, overall financial state of the college, enrollment, graduation, numbers, rates, and percentages, engagement with the community, engagement with the faculty, engagement with the staff, and then feedback, if any, from the community, facilities, and staff. Now, you may want to add to that, and I'm very open to do that, but in him addressing these six items in writing to us at the May meeting, so that we can evaluate it from May to the June meeting, which is our last meeting of the year, I think would give us a better representation of the kind of work that he's being able to accomplish. So I'm going to stop right here and discuss this issue and this issue only before I get into the other four issues involved in this contract. I know I hit you all at once and very quickly, but President Gregory and I spent a great deal of time on this. A great deal of time. So I'm going to open the floor if you want to talk about doing away with paragraph three. And this would not be part of his contract. This would be something that we would mandate that he would do for us on a separate proposal.
So you selected five categories.
Six
categories.
And we can make it seven or eight if you have more to add to it.
To replace the
paragraph three, yes.
Now, the categories that you laid out seem a little gray. Is there any format that is subjective or be able to prove numbers-wise is what I'm looking for?
I would bring it to you at the next board meeting, okay. Proposed goals, and okay. Not surprisingly, they'll match college goals and BP goals, everything that we're working on collectively as a college, and it'll be, it won't be great.
And so that is just for your review, because I think you also mentioned having separate goals and pot of money for maybe people that help you accomplish this.
We're trying to move away from compensation tied to goals for me. Specifically, because we don't have enough money to pay all employees for goals, and we don't want to do it with a limited number, even if, you know, I don't want to do it just for me, and we don't have enough to extend it really significantly at all. So the idea is not to tie compensation to it.
Okay, so those goals that you have are more a general president review.
Right.
So that if we don't feel you're making those,
if I'm not doing a good job, so you can let me go. That's correct.
Let me interject something here. I didn't want to get into this, but this thing exists because of Carlos Baru, who used to sit in this chair. And his, quite frankly, problems with everything State College of Florida on a financial basis. The man and our ex-president didn't get along. Let's just put it that way. He took this money out of her salary in order to appease Governor Scott, and then made it come back and earn it through different avenues. Governor Scott's not there anymore. I like the guy. He and I talked for hours, but Carl Sprood is not here anymore. And we feel like, I shouldn't say we feel like, I feel like a more general looking at the president's achievements, reaching goals, his ability to talk to the community, for the community to be involved with us, specifically with the faculty and the faculty coming back to us, and the staff, of course, is a fairer way to judge his performance than this.
I do want to, having read the majority of the 28 other president college contracts, this is a common. It actually would be more in line with the 457F or B retirement structure that is based on goals. So I am fine with removing it. I do want to preface that. But I do also want to say that having a separate 457F or B contribution to a retirement fund based on goals is a common benefit for the other state colleges. So I preface that, but if he's cool with it, I'm cool with it.
Sitting in this seat for, I don't know how long I've been here, 4 years or 5 years, whatever it is, 95 to 100% of these are always accomplished. And the reason is, they're put in here by vice presidents who have to be the ones on the ground accomplishing these goals. So in fact, they tell you what they're going to accomplish, and then they accomplish it. It's like having an open book test and a year to fill out the exam. So just to judge him on things that we quite frankly know they're going to reach between 95 and 100% every time is probably not the way to go either, in my opinion. I think this is a fair way to do it. This president, who is a retired military lieutenant colonel, doesn't need the retirement. But on the other hand, and we're going to talk about it in just a minute, he deserves the amount of money we promised him when he started. So, are there any other questions on this paragraph before I move on?
I do have a question.
Yes, please.
There's a subtraction of $35,000 next to the paragraph. Does that mean it would be moved to another plan, right? Is it just a formality here?
I didn't understand the question. I'm sorry.
Yes, he said, why does it say minus 35? That's just the value of that paragraph.
Okay.
That's so just the compensation that was in
that paragraph is worth $35,000
okay.
Max.
Okay. All right.
Why they came up with that, Carlos came up with that, I have no idea.
It probably meant something at the time.
It probably did. I don't know.
Well, and I think some of that is made up by, on page 3, paragraph 8, correct? That's where you're down. Yes. So I think it's really what...
That's where we're heading.
That was his question, though, is it being reallocated?
Yes, yes. The answer is, I don't want his compensation to be less than what we cut a deal for when he started. So, having moved on from that, our president doesn't want to have this $5,000 for annual examination. I want to keep it in there. He can use it or not use it. If he doesn't use it, we're not paying.
Can I make a suggestion for that?
Sure.
I've seen this a lot with other C-suite executives. The physical examination has not been value, and one of the requests that we've had a lot of is concierge or direct primary care access. The cost tends to be around the same, maybe a little bit more, of the annual physical examination. However, I like it better personally because it allows them 24/7 access to a physician, so he's not sitting for an hour in a waiting room at Gen Pop and trying to schedule time. Primary care is getting harder and harder to get into, which is why the concierge physicians are popping up like candy. So I would state, if you know, for five, or I would actually increase the budget to 10,000.
to be able to allow him to contract with a concierge, a personal physician of his choosing.
I disagree. Any other questions about it?
Well, I have a lot of comments. I'm not exactly sure where they go in this conversation. So let me just share a few. Number one, I have, I'm pretty much, I'm 100% on board with the change in the paragraph and moving forward with that. I have never been thrilled with the arrangement of the way we have it with the goals, because I know full well that it was the executive staff that it was doing pretty much all the work and not getting any of the money. And that never seemed right. And whenever I brought up the idea of, you know, shelling out a little bit more for the others that were breaking a sweat too, we just didn't have the money. And when President Gregory and I were talking about this a while back, he was of the same mind. Obviously, Chair Goodson is of the same mind. And that this seems like a really good and fair way to go forward. How the final numbers all shake out, we can discuss. I don't really feel like, you know, that there's a big problem anywhere in the actual numbers. We'll get close enough that everybody will probably be fine. But I like this concept a lot better. It seems more fair and open. And I am fine with the idea of what the chairman brought up as far as the list of six things, too. I really need to see that all written out and what that looks like in details, because that's where, obviously, that's where the devil always resides. So my two cents is, as I think the most senior on the board, is that I'm very happy with this change and have been kind of wanting it for a while. And I'm glad to see us going forward with it. I'm not surprised at all that the president is on board with it and has been. And so I'm reserving judgment on the six until I see what it looks like on paper.
Thank you. Do you have any comment about the $5,000 in the health exam?
Well, I mean, the thought that I have there is that if he, I don't have a problem with doing the $5,000 health exam. The concierge thing, I know that's a growing thing for those that can afford it and are in a position to get it. I do sometimes think about optics, and maybe this is unfair, but I do think about optics in it, because we've been holding tuition very tight for a long time, and this is always a red line for me to not raise tuition. But I know that comes with the cost of not getting more money.
It does.
And that's reality. Nonetheless, when I look at a chunk of the body of our students, I think that's a fair push. When I hear regularly the faculty and their comments on their income and their facts, and I know there's a broader context, but their facts are their facts, and I don't think they're, you know, completely unfair in what they're bringing forward to us. I don't know, the sense of a concierge service for the president feels a little off to me. And I say that with great respect, Taylor, because I know this is really your lane.
If we switch the name from executive physical, I mean, because what is he going to do with an executive physical once a year for $5,000?
I don't think he's going to do it.
He's not going to do it.
So
he's going to go to the Air Force.
If we're
going
to offer to spend the money anyway, what if we just switch the name from executive physical to direct primary care provider?
President Greg, you want to talk to this?
Well, my initial recommendation was to remove the paragraph altogether, because I do an annual physical every year and didn't need and don't need the college to pay for it, because I have military retirement health care. And so, and of course, I'm eligible for the state system if I wanted to go that route. So it's money that I didn't spend this year and don't intend to spend in the future. Obviously, health is more at the top of my mind now than it ever has been. So I don't intend to spend it either way, and I'm making enough money that if I wanted to do concierge doctor, I could do it. It's a wonderful perk if you want to put it in there, or if you wanted to leave it as annual physical. Again, my initial recommendation is to remove it altogether. Whatever the board decides, I'm going to agree to, so totally flexible.
You're not going to use it whether we put it in there or not, right?
Very unlikely.
So then I have a functional question probably for Taylor. If I'm the concierge or primary care if we did that, would that be something we purchased and we would have it purchased for him, whether he used it or not? Because if he's not going to use it,
no.
We don't want to go
you
back.
Would
no.
Want to, yeah, you would want to have him select the position because obviously he would be he has to be comfortable with the position. So he would have to be making that distinction.
And actually, I think now with the new Florida law, and I didn't think about this until now, I'm not sure we could spend this money anymore now that the state has passed a law to move to all college employees, including me, to the state health plan. Jennifer, am I right on that? I don't know if we can supplement the state health care system in any way, even for executives. But
may I ask you a question?
Well, yes.
Taylor, is your concern that if it is stricken from this contract, that it may be lost for future president?
Not necessarily. I think every president can,
advocate for their own contract.
Exactly, and that just happens to be a popular one that I'm seeing among the C-suite because primary care access is everybody's feeling it, not just C-suite, but it's also W-2. But I'm fine if I just thought it was a better use of $5,000 if we were going to spend it to have him have access 24/7 rather than just one time a year with a report that we obviously can't see, which I don't want to see. But what's he going to do with it? Like you said, he already gets the physical. I just thought the access 24/7 for the same amount of money is a better value for the college's dollar. That was my thought. So we can strike it or not.
President Gregg is perfectly happy with striking it completely out, okay. Turning it to zero, if that's what you want to do with this.
If I'm hearing correctly, you've already had a collaborative decision together of this is compensation that was in the original contract and negotiated and agreed to, that is just moving and changing, and we would get specifics of that at the next meeting of the list of pieces that are being looked at, but there's no money that is being taken out of the whole. Is that correct?
This is the specific.
This is $5,000.
This is it.
With this paragraph, yes.
Okay.
With the original paragraph, no, we're taking $35,000 out. I'm going to put it back here in a minute, but.
Well, that's the part I'm interested in.
The question is, the man is not going to use the $5,000.
Okay.
So we can leave in the contract, he's not going to use it, or we can take it out of the contract, he's not going to use it. He doesn't need it. He has a medical.
My two cents is that I think we should just take it out and move to the next thing.
Fine with me. Is everybody okay with that?
I agree. Unless
you change
his mind.
We're going to take it out and make it zero.
I was just trying to say,
sure.
if we're
going to
spend the
$5,000,
let's spend it in a valuable way.
Exactly. I like that.
That's
anyway. Paragraph 6, memberships and dues. He doesn't want to belong to anything and doesn't want the dues, and we're going to turn that into zero.
He doesn't have any dues to belong to the consortium of state college presidents or anything like that. There's no association dues for that.
There are dues, but they're paid by the college anyway.
So that's our
okay. Right. This would be like if I wanted to join the Venice Yacht Club or something, which I wouldn't want to do, and if I did, wouldn't want to charge the, I might want to do it, but I wouldn't want to charge the college. That's what this is.
All right, so now we've saved $45,000, but we don't have a right, in my opinion, to take it out of his pocket because that's what he signed a contract for originally. So under 8, that is a $1,000 a month thing for any routine expenses that he could verify that he did for the college that he might need money for. It'd be my suggestion, and I hope it's your suggestion, that we raise that by $2,500 to $3,500, which would give him $42,000 in that bracket, which is almost back to where he was originally in his contract.
Now, okay, you talk about optics. Can you speak to
would that be included in his compensation on the 990? So that is where the extra benefits come in, is you don't have to put those in the 990. So his salary right now at go ahead.
We don't find them.
We do have to file record. Sorry, 990 might be the incorrect term. We do have to file records as to what our president's compensation is, so it is a matter of public record. The benefit, though, my understanding, does not have to be broken out, but compensation like this would. So when I sent the study that we did, because I happen to have all the contracts for all the 20 states, Tommy Gregory is right in the middle, which I think is exactly for the, at the 325 level, he's right in the middle. And no matter how we sliced it, he was right in the middle. Between enrollment, between budget, I think that was where I think we want to be. When we add it to here, the optics are going to look like we just gave him a $30,000 raise. For nothing. Because we're not tying it to any goals. We're not buying any benefits. It's just a salary raise, basically. So I just want to be mindful of that. If you want to put some of that towards benefits that he would feel appreciated by, you don't have to include that in the total compensation. It's just separate. So that's what a lot of the other presidents will do, is they'll say, well, you know, I have this annuity that doesn't have to be included. I have my 457F or B that doesn't have to be included. I have my golf membership that doesn't have to be included. So the salary, if you just go by salary, tends to look a little nicer. So that's my comment on that. And then my other benefit I would like to discuss, including in here, is long-term care insurance. But that's my 2 cents on that.
Well, you know far more about this, obviously, than I do, about all these terms you were using. Are you suggesting, I mean, the man took the job for X amount of dollars, for this X that we have in front of us. We've just taken 45,000 of that X out. So, you know, that's a pretty sizable pay cut, unless
but
we put it back somewhere.
But he's negotiating, though. That's right. It's not our fault. He's doing it.
I agree. Would you like, are you suggesting we raise the salary then and do away with this paragraph?
We could leave it at the 1,000, but I honestly, like I said, he's right in the middle. And I think given our enrollment versus our budget, he's right in the middle, and that to me is where he should be. I don't know what everybody else thinks.
Right. Just, do you mind if I?
Please.
I appreciate Trustee Collins, and it's a good point that the way the contract is written now, that you could, depending on how it's reported to a public body, you could say that $45,000 of the compensation is hidden from view, so it looks like my salary is the 325 number, when in reality, under the current contract, it's $45,000 more than that. I'm okay and actually prefer the transparency of, number one, reducing it from 45,000 to 30,000 in that compensation. And I am okay, and I think prefer the transparency of, okay, here's what this compensation truly is. It's not 325 and 45 you can't see. It's 325 plus 30. So it's really, the college saves $15,000, even though it looks like, if you look year over year, it might look like a raise. I'm okay with that.
He's negotiating the reduction, so I, of course, have no problem with that. I just want to make sure that we're...
He's negotiating a reduction. However, it is still going to increase paragraph 8, which you're having problems with.
I just wanted people to know that when you talk optics, that's what's going to happen. If that's where people hide it, is in benefits, the C-suite. I just gave a trade secret. I'm sick of negotiating the $100,000 annuity, so nobody sees it.
Well, perhaps the analogy to this is what Vice President Price just informed us of a few minutes ago, which is in order to better classify other student revenue, right, it looks as though local support has dried up, and someone could write a news article about that, but then you could explain the accounting terminology, and people will always ask questions no matter what you do, and there will be an explanation to give should that time come, and part of that explanation can be he has asked for less money than he was originally awarded.
So I'm a fan of the kind of the way it is here with the 30,000, and if it shows up in basically as income, as it were, it was looking like a raise. I think just philosophically, transparency is the way to go. And I don't really see us taking lumps on him having a perceived raise when it obviously is not. Number one, if it wasn't initiated by him, it was close. He certainly negotiated against interest, which is pretty fun. But it's great for the college. It's a great example of how he's leading. And then we're transparent. It's open. Exactly what the pay is. Everybody can see it. There's not all the hidden games that all the other college presidents are playing. I think it's a great look, to be honest with you. And I think that there wouldn't be any problem with our communications department explaining that. Yeah, got her attention. Explaining that if it needs to be explained. I think it's a strong case for this is a right and proper thing to be doing for the college and for the community to see.
I concur. Any other comments?
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
I just want to make sure I understand the math correctly. So the former was $1,000 a month, which I would assume to be $12,000 annually, and we're talking about increasing it to $4,000 a month.
No.
$3,500.
I think that's off the table. Now we're going to increase it so it totals $30,000, correct?
Yeah, $3,500, not $4,000. Correct.
Okay, so we're not looking at this red line. We're looking at the handwritten line.
Yeah,
we've got a brand new line that's just getting written in there.
I understand that. Thank you.
So it'll end up being about a $15,000 total compensation reduction for him.
Man has worked here a year, and he's going to give us $15,000 back. On top of which, he gives $20,000 a year annually, he and his beautiful wife, back to the college because he just wants to. So, the contract that I'm presenting to you now is that paragraph 3 goes away, paragraph 4 goes away, paragraph 6 goes away, paragraph 8 is changed to equal $30,000 for the year. I should be able to divide that in my head, but I don't.
$3,500 a month.
$3,500 a month. And the base pay remains the same. Is there a motion to adopt this?
Can I make one more request?
No.
I'm going to go my bad side. I'm to your right. In paragraph 3A on the first page, the last sentence, the college shall obtain supplemental long-term disability coverage for President Gregory to make sure that he's at the same disability benefit as everybody else in the college. Because there is a cap to our group. This was actually put in originally for President Crooksfeld because given their higher salary, their cap on the group disability is not 50%, is not equal. So it was put in there to include a supplemental, and we were going to try and do the same thing for President Gregory to keep him on par with everybody else. I would like to either amend that to be a long-term care policy if the board is willing to research that availability, and if President Gregory wants it.
When you say long-term care, you mean long-term disability?
No, long-term care insurance. It's
right.
Something he can carry with him into retirement if he.
So it's portable.
Yeah. just that tends to, that's a new, given that a lot of C suite are working older, that's become one of the more popular benefits that we're seeing be put in contract.
How much is it going to cost the college?
It will depend on how you and President Gregory want it structured. There are some parameters. And, I mean, I would just say, could we look at the availability of that or have a conversation around it? I couldn't tell you the numbers right now.
Trustee Collins, would you mind if I have a chance to evaluate that with HR and then bring that to you?
Yeah.
I think that's an interesting benefit, you know, for all employees, if it's feasible and possible to do it, to offer plans, what to find out, you know, communicating with the state, make sure we could do it, first of all.
Let's take this up later. Let's go ahead and vote on the contract without this clause, although I think it sure is valuable to think about. But I need a contract from my president. So I'd like a motion to adopt what we've already discussed.
All right, clarification. And then I'll make a motion for it. The six things that you're talking about are in a separate package.
Yes, correct.
So I just want to make sure we're clear that that's coming yet separately.
It's got nothing to do with this contract.
Okay, so I move approval of this, as we discussed it.
Second.
Motion, second. Any further discussion on the contract as it sits right now? Hearing none, we'll call for a vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. Motion carries. I have to bring this up today because I want President Gregory to be able to address it if he wants at our next, at the groundbreaking. As you pull into Parrish campus, I know we're running late, I'm going to be very quick here. You have a roundabout. This is on the plans, I think you've seen it. That roundabout has a half wall. On that is State College of Florida lit up. There's also flagpoles there with the flags. I'd like to suggest the following, that a memorial be established there to honor our veterans and our first responders. A plaque would be put on the back of that wall, which there's nothing on it now. There's also a brick walkway that you can walk across the roundabout existing, that's on the plans. And we would put on that plaque something to this effect. State College of Florida established this memorial to honor our veterans and first responders for their sacrifice in protecting us all. Susan can work on better language. But that would be the plaque, and then we would, so that would be a cost to us. And then we would put a permanent bench in that would sit there and be able to look at that in case somebody wanted to go there and just meditate or whatever. This obviously is lushly landscaped and lit, obviously, already in the bid. So I think it would be a good step forward for us as we enter a new community to have this memorial. I don't think it's going to cost us hardly any money. In fact, I think I can probably get the contractor to do it for free. I just think it would be good for us to do that and think about others as we endeavor on this huge project for State College of Florida. I don't think we, I guess we can have a motion if you want to, but I would like to have your permission to do that. Is there any question about that or want to talk about it?
Permission to review and get costs for?
The plaque's going to be a couple $100. I'll pay for the plaque. And the bench is just going to be a bench like we have outside of Steve's building, Korchek's building, which is just a concrete bench that's pre-made.
May I make a recommendation?
Yes.
I think it's a wonderful idea. And I, as a daughter of a Vietnam veteran and the wife of a Navy veteran, I'm in full support. I would just suggest perhaps you work in consultation with the Veteran Services Group to think about what is the best way to reflect that they would want to be acknowledged. Something that I'm also really passionate about is thinking about the whole family that serves. And we do do have some spouses of veterans that are at our college, and so whether there's something to be considered about the veterans and their families, or I don't know, I think it'd be nice to involve a little bit of the student body, and perhaps some of the professors as well who have served or had family members served. Don't want a good deed to go unpunished, you know, as you try to do something kind. But
I'm gonna take care of this right now. I suggest in the motion that Britt be assigned. Figuring out what we're gonna say on this plan.
I would be happy to be involved. I would be happy to be involved.
So
I think Dr. Can help direct me to student services and veteran services. I would love to.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
And Mark's paying.
Have any other problems with it? We're gonna move on. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Good. Let's do it.
Okay.
Do we need a motion?
I don't think so. Yeah. After that,
we'll do it. Okay. SEF Foundation. Ms. Holmes.
So we have a groundbreaking October the 30th, and we also have our scholarship luncheon, which is scheduled on November the 5th. And many of you are participating, and I would like to thank you for that. It is my honor to introduce one of our most beloved donors that has such a passion for the Venice community and also State College of Florida. And joining me here today is Debbie Cahoon, one of our board members at the foundation. Come on up, Debbie. Thank you very much. Thank you. And we wanted to welcome, and we wanted you to specifically meet Dr. Durbe. We are planning for a check presentation and unveiling of our Bradenton campus on December the 9th at 4 p.m. right before your trustee meeting. There will be light refreshments, and it is a short distance of where your conference room will be for your board meeting at 5:30. And so we will get you out in plenty of time and to have media present and those kinds of things. So Dr. Durbe, I would like to introduce you. Come on up. And I wanted Dr. Durbe to share with you, because I know this story, how he found us. And so I thought it would be really a good introduction, because some of you, he is new to you, and you can understand his passion for, I don't know, for those that toured, you saw Lake Durbe, and you also saw the Durbe Library on our campus, and those were named after him. Dr. Durbe.
Thank you. I just want to say it's such a wonderful opportunity to be here. Cassandra was kind enough to ask me to tell you how I came to know and then to love State College of Florida. And I want to tell you, I would probably not be here today were it not for Cassandra Holmes. I hope you realize what a gem you have and what an asset you have to this college. As some of you know, my background is in academia. In fact, I've probably been on college campuses longer than just about anyone in this room. Even though, unlike Dr. Swanson, was it 30 years? I only put in 12 years actually teaching. But I've been on college campuses since the eighth grade, when I was at the University of Hawaii. I actually was in their what we call the laboratory school. We used to jokingly call it that. It was the teacher training division of the University of Hawaii. And I was there, as I say, from the eighth grade on. I then went to the University of Hawaii. I got my bachelor's degree there. In fact, about in 3 years. I'll be pleased to tell you, I graduated with the highest grade average in the class of 1965. And I got a Woodrow Wilson Fellowship, which I then used at the University of Arizona, where I got my master's degree and my PhD, all by the time I was 25. So I got a good start. I only wish we had something there like your collegiate program. That would have been wonderful. I would have been the first one in line for that. not so fortunate, but now I'm hoping to be able to make that up for hundreds of other kids here on the SCN campus. When I'll tell you how I first came to know SCN. I had become a veteran visiting college campuses all over the world. If I see a sign pointing to such and such a college, even if I've never heard of it, I'm prone to go down there, even if it's way out of the way, and take a look at it. Well, for some reason, when I got to Venice 15 or so years ago, I did that to an extent. I visited New College, of course, and I visited Ringling College and whatnot. But for some reason, I never came to the State College of Florida. Until my dear friend Shannon Staub, do you all know Shannon?
Mm-hmm.
She, of course, was for years in the state legislature. We have a wonderful library in Northport that is now named for her. In fact, that was being built at the same time that the Sarasota County Commission was voting to name the downtown library in Venice for me. So Shannon and I became good friends. We still call ourselves the twin bookends. We have the one library, Shannon's library, over here on the extreme east of the county, the Jervey Library in downtown Venice on the west, and we have become great friends. Well, in any event, when the Shannon Library was being built, when her library was being built, they had I think it was a popping out function that I was invited. And I thought, well, this is one chance that I will have to see what the State College of Florida that I've heard about, what their campus looks like here in Venice. So I took the long way around, really long way, on 41, to get up to I-75, you know, where her library is. It's quite a distance away. But in any event, I did, and I got finally to the State College of Florida. I turned off, and I went down that street to that beautiful swamp. Well, I didn't realize what a remarkable swamp that was. When I first got to the stop sign, I don't know if many of you have been here long enough to remember, there was a sign right to the right there by the stop sign saying, State statute, do not feed or molest the alligators. I stood there. I sat there in the car. Fortunately, there was nobody behind me. I sat, and I laughed out loud. I said, oh, my God, what am I going to do if I can't molest an alligator? But I thought in that one, well, these people have a sense of humor. And from my background in academia, I can tell you how important that is. Kids, when they come to any college campus, they have anxiety, and this certainly would relieve that. Well, I went around the lake, and I couldn't believe my eyes that over half the campus, it appeared, had this wonderful natural preserve as its centerpiece. And I had never seen a campus like that. I've been all over the world. I have never seen. This is probably the most unique college campus you're going to find anywhere in the world, thanks to that beautiful natural preserve. Well, I decided I wanted to learn more about this college. And I called my dear friend Shannon, and she gave me a number of names. Carol Kopsfeld, of course, you know, remember Carol, Darlene Whitley Johnson, and quite a number of others. And I got in touch with them. And the rest is more or less history. I visited all over the next couple of years. I visited all of the campuses. I had a wonderful time visiting all three of them. Fortunately, we'll soon have a fourth one. And I really became more and more impressed with what I found here. And then when I learned more about the collegiate school, I was blown away. And that is where I really thanked people like Cassandra. I really decided I want to do something more substantial for this college. So that is basically how it came to be. I am enormously thankful for you and being willing to take my contribution and really make something out of the new collegiate school that we're going to have here and renaming it, of course, the campus in Bradenton as well. It's so pleased, President Gregory, that you are doing so well. You've been very kind to me, as did your mentor, your predecessor. It's been great working with you, and I look forward to hopefully many years in the future to continue. Thank you.
Board members, Dr. Jervy humbly said he decided to get significantly more involved. This is the gift that you approved last board meeting, which is the most significant gift in the college's history, Dr. Jervy. So we really, really appreciate your support, and it will pay dividends for the entire future, all collegiate school students.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Any other further business coming for this?
I don't know if you're going to have board comments or not, but I have comments.
Go ahead.
And I'm on the board.
Go ahead. So, comment away.
I'll be quick. First of all, the new financial update, terrific. Really looking forward to that. I've struggled with what we've been doing a lot. And okay, cool. So I'm looking forward to that. Secondly, the Parrish campus. I mean, we've been talking about this for so many years. And I'm so thankful. I mean, to be able to be, I really did want to make the motion for this contract, even though on this contract work, Mark did a lot more work. Just because I have children and grandchildren who live in Parrish, and they kept hounding me, when are we going to have? And it's like, I don't know, it's government. What can I tell you? But there were real reasons for it taking so long, and so I will be happy to report to them that we have a groundbreaking set and it's actually going to happen. So, thrilled with all of that. Finally, this discussion that we had just previously with the president and his financial package just reinforces for the umpteenth time that we really made the right choice for president of State College of Florida when you look at his priorities here and how he's putting, I mean, talk about putting your money where your mouth is. We made the right choice there. And that's all I have to share.
Okay. Any other comments? Yes, ma'am.
Yes, I would like to reflect on President Gregory taking a reduction in giving money back. I've worked closely with 8 CEOs, and that's never occurred. So compliments to you. And I'd also like to recognize the staff that came forward today and shared salaries and compensation and the challenges that come with that. And I know that President Gregory is highly invested in that piece. Those are conversations that we had one-on-one. And I surely know that this board is very invested in the quality, the retention of staff. So I thank you for coming forward and speaking. And, of course, Cassandra Holmes and Dr. Jervy, wow, thank you.
Jamie, anything?
Ditto. Especially about Tommy.
Yeah. I enjoyed the conversation. Are we concerned, though? He's really good at negotiating contract reduction. Should we I appreciate everything that he does. I appreciate Dr. Jervy. We got to go in the library, and it was really fun. The auditorium there is very beautiful, and I know that it gets a lot of use. So, and we thought the same things about the grounds. They're so pretty. They're such a blessing to the area and to the college. So I appreciate everything you're doing.
Building on that, we took a tour of the Venice campus, some of the newer board members. Prior to this meeting, most of my time has been spent at the Bradenton campus. And I just really want to commend Chris and his team. What a great job they do caring for the grounds and the classrooms and the group spaces, but also what that says about the students and how they care for their spaces, because you can't have a quick shuffle right before, you know, the special guest comes for dinner. It has to look that good all the time to look as it did today. Also, President Gregory, thank you for wanting to consistently put the interests of the college first before your own. I also want to speak to the professors that spoke earlier. You spoke to us in the spring and invited us to attend some of your classes, and there weren't that many weeks left in the school year when you made that invitation, but just a few days ago, I asked President Gregory for the roster of classes when they are available. I was a history major, so I mean, I'm kind of coming for you, but I also took art history classes, so I don't know, we're going to have
to... The door's always open.
Yeah, math was not my... I think, are you accounting? Are you...
I'm speech.
Oh, that's right, speech, language. Okay, you talked about accounting now. Okay, okay. No one ever called me a wallflower, so I would probably enjoy that as well. No, I just wanted to say thank you for continuing to come and just your presence in front of us speaks a lot about the engaging professors you are for your students. So I really want to get to know you and your work better. And then finally, thank you, Dr. Derby. One of the things we're currently figuring out for our oldest child is where she will attend high school. And this is at the top of our list. So very grateful.
Vaughn?
This is my second board meeting, and I'm just really sort of getting my feet wet. But every time I have an opportunity to observe, because I'm trying to just observe, and I'm not into that right now, I get so delighted by the fact that I can participate in this. And it's really nice to see a group of people that have this common goal of helping all these kids. It's very, very satisfying.
Thank you. Jennifer? Okay. Any other comments? Extended adjourned. Thank you.